Good morning. It is Monday morning, Parshas Emor, Tavshin Pei Dalet. The Parsha has a pasuk. It is Chaf Beis, Lamed Beis. V'losu chalalu Hashem kachi, you shall not profane my name. V'nikdashi v'sech b'nei Yisrael, I shall be sanctified amidst b'nei Yisrael ani Hashem alakechem. So there's a mitzvah, a positive mitzvah to sanctify Hashem's name, and there's another, there's a losasa, one shall not transgress, one shall not desecrate the name of Hashem. Now, when we talk about the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, it can be done in a variety of ways, but in the most extreme way, we're speaking about the mitzvah to be prepared to give one's life up in the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. If a person is forced by gunpoint to do any one of the averos, a person puts a gun to your head, says either you eat this this tray food or I'll kill you, so your preservation of life takes precedence and you eat the tray food. However, and the Gimel Chamuris, the three cardinal sins, adultery, idolatry, and murder, so you have to take the bullet rather than not be over any one of those averas. And there's other parameters too. If it's a time that the Goyim are trying to make us renounce our religion and they're forcing us at gunpoint to do any particular avera, and it's and if it's in the presence of 10 people, so you also have to give up your life. So we're not going through the parameters of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, but basically the mitzvah is to sanctify Hashem's name, even if it means giving up one's life under the conditions where it applies. So the Rambam in the fifth parak of Yesod HaTorah says, and this is his language is interesting, Kol Beis Yisrael, the entire Jewish household, Mitzuvin HaKiddush Hashem HaGadol HaZeh, is obligated and this mitzvah of sanctifying Hashem's great name. Now, he says, all of Beis Yisrael. Beis Yisrael means the household of Israel. Now, that's a language that the Rambam really doesn't use at all in his works, except there's one other time that he uses this in Hilchos Tshuva, when he talks about the importance of the 10 days, that between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, a person has to scrutinize their ways and do teshuvah. And so the Rambam says, therefore, the Kol Beis Yisrael, all the household of Israel already has a minhag, the custom that during the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we increase our mitzvahs and we can increase our charity and so on and so forth. And there the Rambam uses the word Beis Yisrael. But otherwise, the Rambam doesn't say that. So what is meant, and we know that every term that the Rambam used is meant to convey a point. So in the Sefer Emes Yaakov, which is by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that's all, he says that the term Beis Yisrael is coming to include even children. Now, usually only children, only boys or girls over the age of bar bat mitzvah are obligated to do the mitzvahs on a Torah level. And when they're younger, they're only doing the mitzvahs because the mitzvah of chinuch, the father has to train them to do the mitzvahs, but they're not obligated to do the mitzvah per se. He says over here, when the Rambam says all of Beis Yisrael, it includes even children, as we say, and we say this in, it's in Tehillim, we say this in Halal, Yevorech es Beis Yisrael, right? Hakatanim im Agadolim, right? So Yevorech es Beis Yisrael, Hakatanim im Agadolim. So Beis Yisrael includes the Katanim and the Gadolim. So Rabbi Yaakov just says, so why is this mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem different than any other mitzvah where all other mitzvahs, they're not obligated until they're 12 or 13? So he says, if you find, that, again, if you scrutinize the language of the pasuk says it in a direct way, V'loz chalalu Hashem kachu, you shall not desecrate the name of Hashem. It's an action. Do not do this. Then it says, "Vinikdashi, I shall be sanctified." It doesn't say, "You shall sanctify." In other words, so it's not the language is not uniform. If you have two sides of the coin, one side of the coin is "Don't desecrate," the other side of the coin should say, "And you shall sanctify." It says, "Do not desecrate." That's an imperative speaking to you. Do not desecrate. It doesn't say, "You shall sanctify." It says, "My name shall be sanctified." Causative. You see? So he says, from there we understand that if the Torah would have said it in the imperative language, then it would have been just like all the other mitzvahs, that children are not chayav to do it because you're not obligated to do mitzvahs. He says, He says that the main thing is here that the Torah is looking for the result. The result is that his name should be sanctified. And in the footnote, he says that he elaborates on this in a different parsha. Parsha has told us. So he says, it comes out, he says, it seems to me that we have that parents during the Middle Ages, when they were under the threat of death, if they don't convert to Christianity. So we find that fathers were moser nefesh for themselves and for the entire members of their family, and they took the lives of their own children. He says, wait a second, why is he taking the life of his children? They're not obligated in Kiddush Hashem, it seems. So what gives the father the right to kill their children if they're not obligated in the mitzvahs? So he says, now it makes sense, because if the mitzvah was only actualize by the imperative, you shall sanctify, it's true. They don't have a mitzvah to do anything below the age of Bar Bat Mitzvah. But if the Torah wants the outcome that Hashem's name shall be sanctified, so then it would include even the children. And he cites in the footnote here, there, and we've spoken about this over Tisha B'Av before, there's the Mefarshim and Parshas Noach, the Daskena Balitosis, there's a machlokus in the Rishonim, whether a person is allowed to take the life of their children during the times of Gezerah, the times of the harsh decrees, where we're forced to renounce our religion. So there's a discussion about this. He brings in others from as well, but he's purely looking at it from the way that the Torah is expressing Vinik Dashti, and he sees, historically speaking, Jews, we always do the right thing, and if the fathers took the lives of their children, they must have understood, like we're saying, like it seems from the Rambam, Kol Beis Yisrael, Beis Yisrael means the household of Israel, HaKetanim and Magdolim, inclusive in Ketanim. So that's a piece that I saw this, I think, later in another Sefer, maybe it was in the Or Gadol, that explains it like this as well. In any event, I wanted to explain that the Nusach of Kaddish, okay, listen to what we say. What is Kaddish? Kaddish is erroneously understood as a prayer for the dead. It's not a prayer for the dead at all. It does not mention anything about death. What it does is it sanctifies Hashem's name, you see? So, and the reason why we sanctify a person's name is when we do that in memory of someone, it's considered as that person would have been sanctifying Hashem's name. He's the impetus for me doing that, and the great reward that I get for inducing people to say Yehi Shmei Rabbah accrues to the life of the deceased. Okay, so that's just now. But listen to what we say. Yiskadav Yiskadav Shmei Rabbah. Say, in this world that Hashem created according to His own, in our lives, in your life, now look at the rest of Kaddish. As the rest of Kaddish, we don't say Beis Yisrael. Yehi Shlomo Rabbah Min Shemaya V'Chayim Melein V'Kol Yisrael V'Emrumen. According to most Gersis, His Kabel Tzlo Son of Son of Chol Yisrael. Okay, there's some that say Beis Yisrael, but we say. So in the Kaddish, we're saying Yisrael, Yisrael, but when in the first sentence, Yiskadav Yiskadav Shmei Rabbah, Balmod Rechu Saviyah, B'chayichon V'yamachon V'chayichol, why Beis Yisrael? Because that's exactly the point. The Rambam says that who's obligated in the midst of Kiddush Hashem? The entire Beis Yisrael, the Rambam says. That's what we're saying according to the name of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And who's Beis Yisrael including? Even children. So the first opening line of Kaddish, which is talking specifically about the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, uses the term Beis Yisrael. B'chayichonu v'yamachonu b'chaye d'chol, in the life of what? Beis Yisrael, because we're talking about Kiddush Hashem. The rest of the sentences, Yehi Shalom Harab, we're talking about peace, we're talking about accepting our prayers, we're talking about Israel. Then it doesn't say Beis Yisrael, it says Yisrael, like it usually says Yisrael. That was my addition to this. Okay, but what I'd like to share with you is somewhat of a classic, and the reason why I'd like to share this with you, because it's a very fundamental understanding of who we are. It comes from the Tshuvas in the Beis HaLevi, Drush Yud Zion. That's from the third volume. And he talks about the following. We find we find as follows. Is a non-Jew obligated to the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? Okay, so the non-Jew has seven mitzvahs. And we know that the seven mitzvahs of Noach, the seven laws, if they transgress them, it's punishable by death. We don't have the ability to do that, but if we would have the ability, if we'd be in Eretz Yisrael and the Goyim live among us, and some would steal or rob, it would be punishable by death. Okay, because that's one of the seven laws. Now, is Ben Noach, is the guy obligated to keep those seven laws even if they're threatened, to do so, to transgress, or I'll kill you? In the same way that we have to give up our lives for Kiddush Hashem, that they also have to do it. That's a discussion, actually, in the Gemara and Sanhedrin. But what does it come out? The Rambam says, and I'm reading from the 10th parak of Hilchos Melachim, Halacha Beis. But Rambam says, Ben Noach she'ansu anas, lavar alachas mitzvosav. If a Ben Noach, a non-Jew, was forced by someone to transgress one of his mitzvahs that he's obligated to do, mutter lo lavar, he's allowed to transgress the mitzvah, right? And he doesn't have to give up his life. Afilu nenas lavar avodah zorah, even if he... Now, one of the seven laws is avodah zorah, okay? So one of the three cardinal sins. So if a Jew would be, if somebody would take a gun and say, either bow down to this idol and accept it as your deity, you'd have to take the bullet. But a guy does not. He's not obligated, right? He preserves his own life. I feel in the slavet of Israel, lefi she'eim mitzuvin al kiddush Hashem, because a guy does not have a mitzvah of kiddush Hashem. Okay, and then he says he concludes with that there's no onish for a katan and a person who doesn't have das. Okay. But what concerns us is the first part of the Rambam when he speaks about the fact that a guy does not have the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And this really is a sukkah in Sanhedrin, Dafayin Dalin. There's a Yerushalmi and Shvias that says clearly, Yisrael Mitzuvin, Yisrael, Klal Yisrael is obligated the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, Ve'ein HaGoyim Mitzuvin on Kiddush Hashem. They're not obligated the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So the question is, good, fine. So it's a halachic question and a halachic answer, and we go further. But let's understand it on a deeper level. So this is where we have the Beis HaLevi that comes in, because he prefaced it with this understanding, with this Rambam, and he wants to know, why is it that the guy doesn't have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? Now, he brings, of course, what we all know. It says in the Pasuk, in the Torah, that when we stood at Har Sinai, we were asked to accept the Torah, we said, Nasa v'nishma. We unconditionally accept it to keep every nuance of the Torah, even without knowing what it says in the Torah. Right? That's what we're all about. And the Apikoros, that the heretic confronted Ravid, he says that you people are impetuous, that you accepted to do something without even knowing what it says. Like, you know, that he's being criticized. He says so. How do we understand this, the Nasa v'nishma? So here we have another halachic Rambam. This is in the 11th Perek, Halacha Tazayin of Hilchos Mechira. Listen to this Rambam, and we'll tie it in here. Chayiv Adam, B'davar She'ein HaKatzav, says, K'gon She'amah Hareini Chayiv Lozen Oscha U'lechaz Chosu Chamer She'ashanim. If I accept upon myself to support you and give you as much food as you need and clothing as you need for the next 5 years, let's say I take it upon myself and say, Jimmy, you know what? It's all on me. Any food that you buy, just I'll pay, I'll reimburse you, whatever. You just show me the credit card, you show me the receipt. After your wife goes to Shooks, whoever does the shopping, and you get, or all the, now this is a little bit more dangerous. If your wife brings the receipt after she goes shopping for clothing, I'll also cover that. Okay, so that's kind of a dangerous thing here. So am I obligated to pay? So the Rambam is that even though I made a proper kinyan, let's say we held on to a handkerchief, we shook hands, right, make a proper kinyan, would you say that's binding or not? What would you think? Is that binding? A proper kinyan, it's a proper transaction.
But you don't really know what you're agreeing to.
ooh, he's a lawyer. He's a lawyer. I go, you know, when you prepare a shiur for lawyers, you got to be, okay. The Rambam says, lo nishtabed. He has not obligated himself. It does not work. Shezu kama matana hi, ve'en kan dover yedua umotze shenosu b'matana. Because it's unknown how much it's going to accumulate. And you cannot obligate yourself on an open-ended basis. And the Rambam then concludes an interesting way of saying, v'chein horu rabose, and my rebbeim also paskin like this. How often do we find that in the Rambam, okay? So the Rambam says that my rebbeim paskin, okay, so if I accept upon myself, if I say, you go to Schnucks today, and buy $200 worth of groceries, and I will pay you. I will reimburse you. We shake on it. We make a proper kinyan. However, we make a proper kinyan. That's called a dover kotzuv, a set amount. But a dover she'eno kotzuv, if it's an unset amount, I cannot obligate you. I cannot obligate myself to pay. It's not binding because it's unknown. It has to be more tangible. It has to be more concrete. It has to be more narrow than just an open-ended eschivas. Okay, is that clear in the Rambam? So you're going to ask me, why am I bringing this in? What does it have to do with the subject? It does have to do with the subject. Because Klal Yisrael said, Nasa v'nishma, I accept upon myself to do whatever it is, Hashem, that you ask me to do. Well, that's an open-ended obligation. It's so why was it binding on the Jewish people to do whatever it is that Hashem asked? We didn't know exactly what it says in the Torah at the time that we said Nasa v'nishma. It's really accepting. I mean, as noble as that is, but on a technical halachic level, why is it even binding? Question resonates? Okay. That's what the Beis HaLevi deals with. So this is basically what the Beis HaLevi says, and I hope we'll have people to do this justice in 2 minutes. He wants to say, let's say I purchase you as my eved, as a slave. Now let's just say we know there's a parsha called Eved Ivri, that a Jewish person could sell himself and to his Jewish master. The Jewish master will treat him with great respect and so on and so forth. Without getting into that, that's in Parshas Mishpatim. But whatever he asks him to do, he has to do. Certainly an Eved Kanani, right? A non-Jewish slave, whatever you, he's at your beck and call. He says, can you save yourself? Can you sell yourself into avdus, into slave? The answer is yes. Why? Because there, the master, you're not obligating yourself to do this, that, and the other task, as many as they're up to. The kinyan is not on the tasks. The kinyan is on my entire being, my goof, my body, is now acquired by you. So if you own my, I don't like the term own the body, but that's the only way I can explain this. In other words, I'm owning the person rather than purchasing the tasks that he's going to do. If I pay for the tasks, then that it cannot be open-ended. It has to be very dever kutzav. But if if you are sold to me, so that it's not that I bought every task that you're going to do. I own you. And so you're meshubed. You are enslaved to me. And that means whatever I ask you to do, you're at my beck and call. The Beis HaLevi says that's the basic difference between the relationship of the Jew and Hashem and the relationship of the non-Jew. When Hashem said, v'yitzim li'am segula, the Mechilta even says in so many words that you're obligated, like avodim, we became avodim of Hashem. We were slaves in Mitzrayim, but then we transferred that to becoming the servants of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the Am Segula. We're a treasured nation because we are in the domain of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, the Goyim are not like that. They have 7 laws, but their lives are their own. They live their own lives, but yet they have to do certain mitzvahs. When we have to do the mitzvahs, it's not, and I'll just use it in a loose way, it's not like our lives are our own, but we have to do 613 mitzvahs. We live only for the Ribbono Shel Olam. We are like his avodim. So when we said Nasa v'nishma, what we did at that point is, it's not just that we were accepting upon ourselves the 613 mitzvahs. We defined our relationship with Hashem. Nasa v'nishma means I have to do whatever you want because I am yours, Hashem. I am yours. And therefore, there's no limitations on that. Do we have to stop here? I think we do. Let me continue this point tomorrow. Okay.